Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are going to talk about some of the Christmas traditions. We've been out and about, I'm sure you have, and if you are in a restaurant or if you're in a store, perhaps you've heard music in the background that is typical of Christmas time. And I certainly have heard a number of songs, and I don't know about you, but when I was a child, Christmas was a big deal. There were six children in our family, and evidently this was a very special time of year, and I think also a very stressful time of year for our mother, because she really put together an unbelievable time at Christmas. A beautiful tree and lots of presents under the tree, and a meal with the family and relatives, and it was just a big deal. And I remember all the Christmas music playing as a child, and then we'd visit with friends and neighbors and the whole thing. And so for me, even now that I, you know, certainly understand what Christmas is, it doesn't take you much to find out if you look on the internet or encyclopedia or read any books. It's all pagan. It's not biblical, but nevertheless, it's very sentimental, and it's important for people. They like giving gifts. They like receiving gifts. They like the decorations. They like the lights on trees, outside the house, inside the house, all that stuff. My wife is particularly fond of Christmas and this time of year. And so today, what I want to do is I want to talk to you about some of the Christmas traditions. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at, if you will, a perversion of biblical truth. We're not going to be harsh in our treatment of these things. What we're going to do is emphasize some things in the Bible that are overshadowed by certain traditions, and people take their mind off of some very important things in the Bible when their minds turn to, you know, Santa Claus and gifts and the Christmas tree and things like that. So we're going to talk about some of these things as they relate to some Bible truth, and hopefully will help you to be able to emphasize in your mind that though you may be a sentimentalist, you may like all of this time of year, you don't want to forget. You do not want to forget the major things of the Bible that are so seriously overshadowed by these Christmas traditions. For one, the song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Remember that one? I can't tell you how many times in the last couple of weeks I have heard that song playing. And, of course, it brings back all the memories, and you can sing the tune. And there have been many, many, many artists that have recorded it many different ways. And so you may have your favorite way, and you whistle it, or it comes to mind. The fact that I've mentioned it now, you're already humming the tune. You're already trying to remember all of the words. Well, let me talk about Santa Claus coming to town. Instead of waiting around for Santa to arrive, and you know he won't, you know what you want to really be concentrating on? You want to look for Titus chapter 2, verse 13. And Paul said, when you're looking for somebody to appear, when you're looking for somebody to come down, when you're looking for somebody to arrive in your town, look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what I've been doing this time of year? I've been carrying New Testaments with me, and I've been carrying chick tracts. Chick has several of them that deal well with this time of year, Christmas. He has one that's called The Greatest Story Ever Told. I've been carrying an ample supply of those with me. And I've been leaving him, you know, with the teller at the bank, with the cashier at the store, with the cashier or the waitress at the restaurant. You know, everywhere you go, just giving these out. Why? Because they don't talk about Santa Claus. They talk about the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what you want to be looking for. Now, when Jesus Christ came to town, so to speak, in Bethlehem, he came as a baby and he came as a child and he grew up. And the purpose of his coming, of course, was to obtain the redemption of man. And eventually he was killed and died on the cross, shed his blood that we might be saved. Well, he's coming back. He is coming back. And when he does, listen, don't look for Jesus Christ to arrive with a rooty toot toot and a rummy tum tum. You know, remember the song? When he comes with the rooty toot toots and rummy tum tums. That's not how Jesus Christ is coming. He's coming, and there will be the sound of a trumpet. But it's not going to be a rooty toot toot. It's going to be a blare. And he's also going to come back in flaming fire. And he's coming back to take vengeance. Not at this time giving gifts, taking vengeance. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, and look at verse 31. The coming of Santa Claus overshadows the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, he is going to send his angels, Matthew 24:31. He's going to send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. There will be the sound of a trumpet, okay, when he comes. And now, if you remember the sound of that trumpet back in the book of Exodus, when the Jews were gathering together at Mount Sinai, that trumpet grew louder and louder. They were very disturbed by the sound of that trumpet, by the sound of the voice of the Lord God. Well, he's coming with that sound of a trumpet, and it's going to be a blare. Everybody's going to know it. You'll remember when the trumpets sounded, when the horns were blown around the walls of Jericho, those walls came down. So we're not talking about a rooty toot toot here. We're talking about something profound. When the Lord comes, much unlike the song Santa Claus is Coming to Town, when the Lord comes, he's coming back in flaming fire. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7, 8, 9, and 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." All right, there's the whole picture. Watch it, verse 8, "in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." So when he comes, he's going to be glorified in his saints. He is going to be admired in all them that believe. That's you and me. We are going to admire him. We are going to glorify him. But then he's also coming in flaming fire to take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So it's not a, you know, Santa Claus is coming to town. Not that. No, when Jesus Christ comes back, it is going to be vicious. As a matter of fact, the people that don't know him are going to hide, or they're going to try to hide, and they're going to cry out to the rocks and to the mountains to fall on them and to hide them from the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. So remember that when you hear that song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Just wait. I know it's got a catchy tune. I know it reminds you of all the fun things that go on this time of year. And, you know, it's all right. However, think about the arrival. Think about the coming to town of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you really want to concentrate on. You see, when Santa Claus comes to town, Santa Claus is supposed to know who's naughty and who's nice. Remember that? Well, you better not wait for that. knowing who's naughty and knowing who's nice. Remember the little switches in the stocking? If you've been naughty, No, you better not wait for that. You better rather prepare for the judgment seat of Christ, because, you know, that's the perversion. When Santa Claus comes to town and he knows who's been naughty and he knows who's been nice, then he rewards those who've been nice and he withholds from them that have been naughty. Well, it is a perversion of the doctrine of the judgment seat of Christ. And let me tell you something. That's the thing you want to remember. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Whether it be good or bad. You see, he's the one that knows. That's the person you want to concern yourself with. Don't be worrying about what you're going to get under the tree. You concern yourself about what you're going to get at the judgment seat of Christ. And don't worry about Santa Claus seeing you when you're sleeping and seeing you when you're awake. Okay, that's part of the song. He sees you when you're sleeping. He sees you, you know, when you're awake. Now, don't worry about that. You don't worry about that. Listen, you think about the Lord God. You hear that song? You think about the Lord God. Why? Because Santa Claus can't see anything, but the Lord can. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Now, he's the one. Jesus Christ is the one with whom you must concern yourself. So, when you hear the catchy tune, remember, it's just playing something that's fun to sing and fun to whistle and fun to think about, but it ain't going to happen. Santa Claus isn't coming to town. He doesn't know who's been naughty and who's been nice. He can't see you when you're sleeping. He can't see you when you're awake. And he doesn't come with a rooty toot toot and rummy tum tums. No. You think about Jesus Christ. You think about him coming with the sound of a trumpet. You think about him coming in flaming fire. You think about the judgment seat of Christ, where then you receive in your body the things that were done, whether they be good or whether they be bad. And you think about those eyes of the Lord God beholding the evil and the good. That's the person you need to concern yourself with. Amen. All right. Now, there's another major Christmas tradition, and I want you to think about it biblically and not, you know, in the imagination and in the fairy tale that it has become. And that is Santa Claus dressed in red. Maybe you've been to the mall. That's not one place I desire to go. Not this time, not ever, but particularly not this time of year. That's just not me. I'm not that kind of person. I'd love to spend some time outdoors, like to be on the water, like to be up in the mountains, like to be out taking a walk in the neighborhood, but tied up inside of a mall looking at all those displays, not for me. Now, when you're in the mall this time of year, you're going to see a throne. That's a perversion. And you're going to see a man, presumably, dressed in a bright red suit. Okay? In a bright red suit. Now, instead of thinking of an imaginary figure bearing gifts, you know what you need to do? You need to think of Isaiah chapter 63, verses 1 through 4. Isaiah chapter 63. Verses 1 through 4. You say, why do I need to think about that? Because what you're seeing is a perversion or a play on the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to be dressed in red. He's not going to start out dressed in red, but it's going to turn out that way. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 1, all the way down to verse 4. "Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come." You know, the color of the Lord's garments after executing his vengeance on his enemies at his second coming, is red. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat. You know why they're red? Because that's what he does. He said, I have trodden the wine press alone. Now you might be asking yourself, is Jesus Christ going to come and actually get into a wine fat and trample grapes so he can make wine? Is that what he's going to do at the second coming? No. The wine fat and the wine press, those are pictures of what he's going to do. We find this again in Revelation chapter 14, Revelation chapter 14, verses 18, 19, and 20. Chapter 14, verses 18, 19, and 20. Another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood, not grape juice, blood came out of the winepress, even under the horse bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. So for the space of a couple hundred miles, there is blood shed because of the treading of the enemies of God like you have never, ever seen as a result of any war that has ever been fought in this earth. You see, what is that? You know what that is? That's the vengeance. That's the Lord executing his vengeance on his enemies, those that don't know God, those that do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns. See it one more time in Revelation chapter 19, Revelation chapter 19, verses 13 through 18. This is Jesus Christ at his second coming. The Bible says he was clothed with a vesture, watch it, dipped in blood, Revelation 19, 13, dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, that's you and me, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Watch it. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. There's just such an enormous amount of carnage and bloodshed that literally all the carnivores, all those, what are that? They eat carrion. Any of those, they fly in and they come to devour all this flesh that results from the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you see Santa Claus, and you will, in a movie, you see Santa Claus in the mall, you see Santa Claus on a postcard or anywhere else, just remember, when you see that red apparel, just remember. Forget you've got this kindly faced old fella there. Just forget all that. Just remember, Jesus Christ's garment are dipped in blood when he comes. When you hear the song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, don't worry about naughty and nice and little switches in the stocking and rooty toot toots and rummy tum tums. You think about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you think about that judgment seat of Christ, and you think about the eyes of the Lord which can see everything, beholding the evil and the good. That's what you want to concern yourself with. But now there's something else. Concerning the major traditions of Christmas, we've got Santa Claus coming to town. We know what that is. It's a perversion of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Santa Claus dressed in red, a perversion of the color of the garments of the Lord after he treads the winepress of the wrath of Almighty God. And then we've got this, Santa Claus with long white hair. Santa Claus with long white hair. You say, why does he have that? Well, instead of thinking of the kindly faced old gentleman, the old fairy tale, you know what you want to do? You want to think of Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verses 13, 14, and 15. And it's funny, you have these traditions, and you think, well, where did they ever come up with the idea of a red suit? Now you know. Where did they ever think of the idea of him coming to town, coming down? Now you know. Where did they ever get the idea that he ought to have white, long hair and a beard? Revelation chapter 1, verses 13, 14, and 15. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Watch it. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Verse 15 goes on to say, his feet like unto fine brass, as that they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. There's your white long hair. Why is that? You know, Santa Claus is supposed to come bringing gifts, right? When you think of Jesus Christ, okay, he is the greatest gift giver ever known to man. Santa Claus never gave anybody anything. I remember as a child, I kept hearing about Santa Claus. Man, I would go to sleep at night. I was so excited. I couldn't sleep. Finally, I would just doze off because, you know, as much as children want to stay awake all night, they can't. I couldn't. Man, I mean, at the first crack of dawn, I was up, waking up. Brothers and sisters were going into Mom and Dad's room, and I never could figure out why Mom and Dad were always just dragging it like they hadn't had any sleep the night before. We'd go in there, and boy, we'd have a big time. Dad would film everything, and we'd tear into those presents, and it was just wonderful. Got everything we wanted. You know how it is. Well, if you ever had that kind of Christmas. One year, my brother said to me, he said, you know something? You believe in Santa Claus, don't you? Oh, yeah, man, you know I do. He said, look at this. And he opened up the blinds in my bedroom, which looked out into the backyard where my parents had a carport and a storage room. And there Mom and Dad were coming out with all those presents. He said, you see there? Ain't no Santa Claus. That's Mom and Dad doing all that stuff. Well, that explained then why they were so tired, all right, and exhausted on Christmas morning. And that also explained, you know, the truth. There was no Santa Claus. Well, how about that? I'll tell you, though, there is somebody who gives gifts. The greatest gift ever known to man is eternal life. And that was given by a man in a red suit with long white hair. And it wasn't Santa Claus. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I tell you something? When Jesus Christ comes, we read in Daniel chapter 7, verse 9, he's going to set up a kingdom. He's going to cast down all the thrones of the kings who didn't want anything to do with him. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 9, the Bible says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow. You see, and it was white as snow until he gets it dipped in that blood, see? And the hair of his head like the pure wool, so it's going to be white. His throne was like the flame of fire, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, and thousands ministered unto him. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him with judgment was set, and the books were opened. There you go. We're talking about God. Listen, don't concern yourself. When you think of Santa Claus giving those gifts and little children sitting in his lap, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of them is the kingdom of God. All right, that's what you want to remember. Next time you see him and you see that white hair, you be thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, not whoever that is that's dressed in that costume. Now, I got to keep moving. I realize we're getting close to the end of time here, but you see how this is moving. Now, another tradition is Santa's gifts to men. Well, instead of thinking about imaginary gifts from the North Pole, think about the gifts given to us by Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 12. At the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he led captivity captive. That's the Old Testament saints that were held captive in Abraham's bosom, now taken to heaven after, you know, his resurrection, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Watch it. And he gave some, these are the gifts, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. If you are a Christian, one of the greatest gifts that God has given you after giving you eternal life is a good pastor who can teach you the Bible, whereby saints are perfected, whereby the work of the ministry is carried out, whereby the body of Christ is edified. Listen, if you have been given by God a good pastor, you ought to thank God for that, because he's teaching you Bible and helping you to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the gifts by which we grow in Christ. Let me give you one more quickly as we wrap things up. The Christmas tree. Next time you see the Christmas tree, either it could be in your own house, or it could be at the mall, or a number of other places where they're on display. Listen, instead of thinking about a decorated tree with many gifts underneath it, think of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. At this time of year, when you see a decorated tree, don't think about that beautiful, well-shaped evergreen. You be thinking about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for the preaching of the cross, there's your old tree. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Listen, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is where the price of our redemption was paid for all eternity. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you know where he accomplished that? He accomplished that on a tree. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He accomplished that on a tree that you and I might have eternal life. Listen, as much fun as it is to enjoy time with family, to enjoy gift exchanges and all that fun stuff that you do, don't let the Christmas traditions overshadow the wonderful truths of the words of God. Keep your mind, keep your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, and trust him as your Savior if you haven't done that already. All right? Santa Claus is coming to town. That's a perversion of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Santa Claus dressed in red, perversion of him treading the winepress of the wrath of Almighty God. And the tree, perversion of the cross of Christ. Trust Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.